to the Life V Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Donald, and I am your host. And the title of today's episode is Lessons I've Learned That Changed My Life. Now, what's in it for you in today's episode? Well, I'm just going to be talking about the lessons that I have come across that I've applied to my life and thereby have greatly shaped my path so far. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back after these messages. Now, the first lesson that has really changed my life is something called delayed gratification. Now, for those of you that don't know what delayed gratification is, it's exactly what it sounds like, delaying gratification to a later date. Now, you might be thinking, well, this sounds like denying myself things and I deserve to have things, so why in the world would I do this? But I would like to challenge that question, actually. Why would you do it? To make this more of a concrete conversation. So let's create an example and apply it. So starting from the basics, a classic example of delayed gratification is you can have a cookie now or two cookies later. For a kid that loves chocolate chip cookies, if you put a fresh out of the oven, chocolate, all melted, soft smelling good cookie right in front of him, he very well might eat that cookie right then and there, giving into what's called immediate gratification. He's not thinking about, oh, I can have two cookies later if I wait. His eyes sees the gratification he can get from the cookie that is right in front of him, and he wants to feel that gratification right then and there. But if he waits until later, he can have two cookies, and arguably he might enjoy those two cookies more than he could have enjoyed that first cookie. Not purely because it's two cookies, but because he had this self-restraint to wait and get more later. Now, I know that's saying a lot because it's a kid, and kids probably aren't thinking about self-restraint or being proud of it. So let's give a more adult example of showing delayed gratification. Now, for most of us, an excellent example of delayed gratification is saving for something we want and not buying it on impulse. And so I'm going to kind of make it a little bit personal to me, and I'll expand from there. And so I am a big PlayStation lover. Anybody that knows me well knows that I'm a PlayStation lover. So of course, I'm currently saving to get the PlayStation 5. For people that don't know what that is, I'm sorry, that hurts. But it is a gaming console made by Sony, releasing November 12, and the console costs $499. So right now, I am saving to buy the PS5. However, I'm actually saving 1.5 times the price, which with rounding is about $750. Now, if you listen to my earlier episode on tips to stop impulse buying, you would have heard me kind of talk about how I usually try to save double the price before I buy things I want. With the PS5 costing more than anything I usually buy, I decided 1.5 times the price is fair for me to save for. Now, getting back to how this kind of explicitly relates to delayed gratification, I am not just saving $499 and buying this console at launch on November 12, because that to me would be giving into the immediate gratification. It becomes available. I want it. I get it. There's not much delayed waiting in this outside of me having to wait till it launches, which really isn't me hitting on delayed gratification. So instead, I am saving $750, which by my calculations will take me until late December to earn. But I will have money still left over from my time of saving for this system. So at the end, I will have the PlayStation 5 and give or take $250 instead of just the PlayStation itself. Plus, I will have the gratification that I waited and achieved the goal I set out for. Now, I am also hoping that maybe there will be a surprise release of a Miles Morales themed console after launch. If you don't know who Miles Morales is, he's a version of Spider-Man, super awesome character. And I would love a PlayStation themed Miles Morales system. And so we know it's not going to come at launch. It just wouldn't make sense. And so if there is one, I would only be able to capitalize on getting that Miles Morales system because I am waiting to buy the PS5 after launch and at a far enough later date. Now, if none of that relates to you at all or makes any sense, think about this, okay? At its core, delayed gratification is about improving your discipline while intensifying your inevitable satisfaction. Whether you are on a diet trying to reach a certain size or saving for that item you really want, the actions, or better yet, sometimes the inactions that you take are like adding to a satisfaction meter that can only be filled over time. But granted, it is extremely tough to do sometimes. Instant gratification is a much easier path, and we are surrounded with it everywhere we turn. It's why technology and social media are so prevalent and tied to us now. When we want to know something, we want an answer right then. And so we Google it. Then we get the answer. If we want to talk to someone, we have so many ways to instantly reach out and get a hold of them. Heck, we even know if and when they read our messages. So in a world built around instant gratification, figuring out how to dive into delayed gratification and use that to your advantage can be a hard and alien thing to do. But it can offer up new ways to get what you want and help give you the internal motivation to see what you can accomplish with commitment. Now, the second lesson that has changed my life is the power of manifestation and visualization. Yes, I know it might sound weird and nonsensical, but I truly believe that if you can't see yourself achieving something, then you won't ever achieve it. So the first step for me is always to visualize myself. So visualize yourself achieving that goal and keeping that vision readily available in your mind. And for me, that usually takes a form of vision boarding. Now, I'm a big proponent of vision boarding. It helps me visualize my goals as well as see where and how they overlap. Plus, it's kind of cool to look at and see what I'm working towards. So if you have goals, see yourself achieving them. Write them down and put them up on your wall. Find images, quotes, or whatever you can think of that reminds you of your goals and motivates you to reach them. Now, the second part of this is actually manifesting it. So you visualize it, and now you have to manifest it. So for me, that's speaking it into being. Every major goal I have achieved, I have acted as if I already achieved it. I gave myself that title in my mind. I saw myself in that position or on that trip. It might sound egotistical, but it works for me, and I haven't had anyone call me like an egotistical jerk yet. So I think I'm good for now, you know? And so if you see yourself achieving the goal and then you speak as if you have achieved the goal, then in your mind, reaching that goal usually seems more realistic. So now, after it's seeming more realistic, you feel like you can really do it and you are motivated to make it happen. It's a win-win in my book. And so moving on to the third lesson that changed my life. It's all about planning. Now, for me, I believe that planning is awesome, but all the planning in the world gets you nowhere if you don't take action. Now, if you want to accomplish or create something, yes, you have to make a plan for it. You have to do your due diligence and make sure that you are planning to put your best foot forward. But don't spend so much time making the plan perfect that you actually miss your opportunity to even enact the plan. Take action and adjust accordingly. Flexibility, I would argue, will probably be a bigger determiner for success than the initial framework of the plan anyway, because no plan can be completely foolproof. And so make a plan, but don't only end with that plan. Take that step, take that action, and adjust accordingly. Now, the fourth lesson that has changed my life is that life is a marathon, not a race. So don't burn yourself out at a young age. And this is one that I only recently kind of discovered and I'm really trying to take into account right now as I have transitioned into graduate school and preparing for my career. And so with that, it is really easy to succumb to the pressure of today, whether that be academically, professionally, or personally. We all have our stressors, our motivations, our goals, etc. But we have to remember that if we expel all of our being into accomplishing everything now at a young age while ignoring our health and relationships, we are hurting and alienating our future selves. It's dangerous and it's a hard mentality to shake, especially in today's society where rank and status are king. I mean, I know kids in middle school that are freaking out about their grades and college readiness, literally formulating anxiety issues. I have friends now that feel as though they have failed at life just because they are college graduates and still at home during a pandemic. I mean, we are not all going to attain all our goals before 30 and live happily ever after. It's not a, oh, I just have to make it to this and then everything will be fine. There will always be something coming at you. That's just life. But we should make sure that we are taking care of ourselves so that when we do reach our goals, we can properly enjoy them. I mean, one of my biggest fears is dying alone with no love and no family. I mean, I know that's deep and dark, but it's the truth. And if I stay in the rat race, and that means I don't have time for anything else. I can only see the quote unquote cheese in front of me as I'm trying to run towards it, but inevitably never getting it. Because with that mentality, I can never truly be satisfied. It's tough. And I just really, like all of you, have to make the decision to determine if we want to turn our life into a race or a marathon. I know what I want mine to be, but what do you want yours to be? Now, moving into the fifth lesson that has really changed my life. This one is important for me and was instilled in me from a young age, and one that I always had to keep in mind when I go out into the world and just as I progress in this experiment of life. And it is, your value is not diminished by someone's inability to see your worth. Now I'm going to say that one again. Your value is not diminished by someone's inability to see your worth. You are not valuable because someone says you are valuable. You are valuable because you are unique to you and have the ability to make your own mark on this world. Now, what you do with it is up to you. That's completely up to you. But just because someone doesn't recognize your value and really more so see your potential, it does not mean that there is nothing there. So to keep it simple, recognize your value, nurture your potential, and own your self-worth. It builds confidence and, of course, self-worth that can help you remain strong in the toughest of times and the toughest of transitions, as going into adulthood really is. There's so much transition between the ages of 15 and 30. And it's in such a short time span. But when you can believe in yourself, when you recognize your value, when you are working to grow and nurture your potential, you're already one step ahead of the curve because you realize that you can do better and you can be better and you're working to make it happen. Now, my sixth tip kind of connects with that fifth one. And this sixth one is, you are the best champion for your future self. Only you can most effectively advocate for who you are and who you want to become. Relinquishing that job to someone else can leave you at the mercy of their vision and ambitions for you. And that can be extremely dangerous and potentially demoralizing. It can lead to people trying to live their dreams through you, thereby relegating your own ambitions and desires. So understanding and owning that you and only you can be the best champion for yourself is important. That means you should be taking the steps to put yourself in the best future positions that you can live the life and lifestyle you see for yourself. Now, I'm not saying to go at life alone. You need people in your corner rooting for you. None of us can go at this life experiment alone, no matter what our society might have us believe. And I guess this is also a segue into my seventh lesson that changed my life. Now, number seven is all about people. And it's simply that people are important. They are not to be used and discarded at our leisure or made to be seen as lesser than. As humans, some of our most basic needs are to feel as if we belong, to show compassion, tolerance, love, feelings. Yet, as a young boy, society told me my feelings are a weakness, to suppress them, or that tolerance is a gateway to annihilation. None of us would still be here without someone taking a chance on us and giving us at least one helping hand. And those of us that actually turn out to be successful can think back to that one person that gave us an opportunity or a brief break, no matter how small. And that success is so subjective. It truly depends on what you define success to be. And if you value the success that the world puts out, the native idea of success that the world puts out, then so be it. That's perfectly fine. But there is someone along your path that has given you that one chance, that one breather, that break that really has helped you. And so understand that people are important. And it's important that we recognize this now as we transition into adulthood. Now, number eight, this is my kind of last major lesson that changed my life. And so it is, well, it's really the almighty importance of hard work and grit, more so grit than hard work. And I say that because for me, grit is more so me confronting my own limitations and then surpassing them, while hard work is more so just choosing to keep at it. Grit kind of makes me think of this anime called Black Clover, where one of the running mottos of the show is surpass your limits here and now. And I mean, I love me some Black Clover, so shout out to that show. It's a really good show. But yeah, I think it's extremely important for us to recognize now as we begin and continue our transition into adulthood that hard work and grit will be big determiners for how we set up our lives. Now, I really say this with caution, because we don't want to get so focused on hard work and grit that we lose sight of the rest of our life or the rest of our lifestyle. We want to make sure that we are nurturing those relationships, make sure that we are nurturing our self-worth and taking care of ourselves. And sometimes it's hard to balance all of this, especially as we transition into adulthood and so many things are changing around us, and we're having to literally make life altering decisions. It can be tough. It can be scary. But we just have to remember that this is a beautiful thing. And we have the opportunity, the option to make it our own. And we can do that. We just have to take the time and put in the work. And there's no ultimately always right answers. We do what we can. We make the best decision we can at that time, and we adjust accordingly. And so with that being said, that concludes today's episode on lessons that changed my life. I hope that something said today inspired you, and I wish you the best of luck in your endeavors. And before I end today's episode, I need your help with expanding the Life V Lifestyle audience. So please, if you listen to the show and like it, share it with a friend, get them to listen to it. If you have a Twitter, like and retweet some of my tweets, you know, engage with me. I want to hear from you. And so with that, please be sure to subscribe to the Life V Lifestyle podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, so you can get immediate alerts when new episodes are released. And be sure to leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. If you have any topic ideas about what you would like to hear next, please hit me up on Twitter at Life V Lifestyle. As always, I wish you much success in your Life V Lifestyle journey. Till next time.